Brethren, 2 weeks ago on the Sabbath, we heard the conclusion of Mr. Bowles' sermons on the Ten Commandments, the final one being on not coveting or lusting after things. This got me thinking about coveting, envy, and jealousy, because they are very much connected. So what I'd like to do today is to take a look at the origin of coveting, envy, and jealousy, but more importantly, how can we counteract these wrong attitudes? To begin with, let's define these words. Envy means to covet, desire to have quality possessions or desirable attributes belonging to someone else. Jealousy means apprehensive of being displaced by a rival in affection or favor. Now let's turn to Isaiah 14. We'll be reading verses 12 to 14. As you're turning there, like to comment, I find it interesting that this is the only place in the Bible where the word Lucifer is used according to the Strong's Concordance. But after Lucifer sinned, he was no longer the light bringer, but became the adversary, Satan. So we read in Isaiah 14, beginning in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend up into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High," or more correctly, he said, it says to become the Most High. Satan actually thought that he could replace his creator God on God's throne. Now I'd like to read from the Plain Truth article of January 1979. "Supernatural Forces on a Collision Course" is the title. It's by, he says, "What Now?" by Mr. Armstrong. This Lucifer was the supreme masterpiece of God's creative power, actually next to God in superpower. But Lucifer turned from God's government and led his angels in rebellion against God. As an invading army, they swept up to God's heaven, but were cast back down to earth. Lucifer's name was changed to Satan the devil. His angels became demons. Now I'd like to read from a sermon transcript of a message given in Tucson, Arizona, March the 2nd of 1981 by Mr. Armstrong. The first Adam rejects God. He, meaning Adam, rejected God because God had told him what is good and evil, and he took to himself the knowledge of good and evil contrary to what God had told him. He sinned. He rebelled against God just as Lucifer had done. And Lucifer is now Satan. Lucifer was still on that throne, and Lucifer got to Adam. In parentheses it says, has been getting to you and me. Okay, then he's still on that throne today. Lucifer has always been on that throne. Adam could have replaced him and restored the government of God. Adam didn't. That's the end of the quote. Let's do as Mr. Armstrong often did. Now let's go back to the two trees in Genesis. If you turn to Genesis 3, verse 1, Genesis 3, verse 1, we read, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You surely shall not die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." I'd like to add that Adam and Eve had heard God, the Word, speak to them, but chose to listen to Satan instead. He convinced them that God was holding something back from them, in this case, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that they already had eternal life. Most of mankind believes that to this day, just as he, Lucifer, must have reasoned in his mind that God was withholding something. He became dissatisfied. He probably started to envy or covet what God had, becoming jealous of God. Let's turn to Ezekiel 28, and we'll start in verse 12. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the Garden of Eden." I'll skip down to verse 14. "Thou art the appointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast in the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee." Now, we know from 1 John 3:4, we read, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." In other words, lawlessness. So Satan is most definitely the origin of this coveting and lusting. Now let's turn to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, for how we can counteract these wrong attitudes. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 read, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We need to look at things the way God does, or what we have is human reasoning. And I'm thinking that would be very much influenced by Satan. For the final scripture, let's turn to Psalm 37, and we'll read verses 3 to 11. Psalm 37, verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall diligently consider this his place, and it shall not be found. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So, brethren, when we look at the world we live in today, these verses sound to me like God speaking directly to us, encouraging us. We know that Satan's time on this earth is about over, and our Creator God is about to return. He will return, lock Satan away, and restore God's government to this earth.